This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. Kansas City wheat is leading the grains as traders react to each weather forecast. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says the Kansas crop does not look good.
Yeah, I think there is some crop damage. And from what I've heard, and I've driven out to Dodge City, you get out by Dodge City, the crop that's still in the fields is completely brown. It's like your yard in August when it's had no rain all summer. It's just dead. And then you get out farther west of that, you're looking at by Garden City, this crop, it's virtually torn up. They have nothing there. They zeroed it out. They tore it up and waiting for some rain to plant milo.
Hoops says the row crops are being pressured by planting progress, but weather is still a factor.
Getting down to, we're getting the crop in the ground at a pretty timely fashion. Emergence could be a little bit of a concern, but the real issue is going to be weather. You know, I talk with clients from Nebraska to Iowa out into Kentucky, and everybody says how dry it is, no matter where you're at. They need some rain. There's probably enough soil moisture to get the crop out of the ground, and that's about it, just to get it germinated. And then you're going to need some decent rains because we've really not replenished the subsoil moistures.
The wheat market is enjoying a second day of short covering while the row crops continue to struggle. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifried thinks the market is being held back by the Federal Reserve comments following their meeting.
I think the trade is concerned that either A, they're not done raising interest rates, like we had been hoping. They would say that they were willing to take a pause right now. Or B, that if they do take a pause on raising interest rates, that they might reverse course and go back to quantitative tightening and pulling money out of the money supply, thereby putting more pressure on the regional banks and all the banking issues that we've been hearing about.
The lack of response to the drone attack on the Kremlin is also supporting the wheat market.
The imminent fear doesn't seem to be, or the fear of a major escalation between Russia and Ukraine and the U.S. getting involved on a nuclear, things like that, that doesn't seem to be talked about today as much as it was yesterday. So those two things in conjunction have allowed grains to kind of come down a little bit. That being said, we've had a fairly decent bounce off the lows. So the way we close today, I think it's going to be very interesting.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending April 27th showed old crop corn cancellations of 316,000 metric tons, bringing a combined old and new crop corn sales to a net cancellation of 304,000 metric tons for the week, well below previous week and the four-week average. Net old and new crop soybean sales of 357,000 tons is 17% more than the previous week, 50% more than the four-week average. Net wheat sales at 491,000 metric tons, 37% more than the previous week, 87% more than the four-week average.
USDA's weekly export sales report shows net beef sales during the week ending April 27th of 20,000 metric tons. It's up noticeably from the previous week and 59% more than the four-week average. Beef shipments totaled 19,000 tons during the week, 18% more than the previous week and 16% more than the four-week average. Top destinations for beef are Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Mexico.
Net pork export sales in USDA's weekly report totaled 49,000 metric tons. That's down 9% from the previous week, but 15% more than the four-week average. Pork shipments totaled a marketing year high, 39,000 tons, 2% down more than the previous week, and 10% more than the four-week average. Top destinations are Mexico, China, Japan, South Korea, and Canada.
Well, tractors are stirring a bit of dirt in the Minot area. Dakota Agronomy Partners agronomist Hunter Schreiner says some crop is going in the ground.
A lot of small grains, a lot of spring wheat's going out the door. We're getting a lot of drills moving on the countryside. I'm talking to a few guys here this morning. We got corn going on the ground as well. And if you guys are starting to talk about beans, maybe within the next week or 10 days. So things are chipping along just fine. We're actually a little bit earlier in the ground than we were last year, so that's a plus.
And Schreiner says guys are just getting started on the canola.
Pretty few and far between so far. I think a lot of guys are going to get the wheat hammered in, and then if they got corn acres, they're going to focus on getting those in before the cutoff. And then, you know, if they have two machines, they'll probably run one on canola and one on corn or whatever. So I would say within the next week, we'll be pretty heavy getting canola on the ground.
Norman County, Minnesota farmer John Brainerd started planting this week. There are still a few fields that are too wet to dig into, but Brainerd expects to start his final rotation of soybeans in the next week or two.
No, we don't think we're really that late yet, and no, we haven't changed our plan. So we're going to stick with our same rotation that we've had for several years now, and wheat, sugar beets, and soybeans. Whenever we finish with sugar beets and wheat, the soybeans will go in last of the three crops we have, and so those will just have to wait until we're done with the other crops. And so we're hoping we could, if it goes well and the weather doesn't interrupt us, we could be into soybeans in the next 10 to 14 days.
Brazil's Vegetative Health Index shows very good second crop growing conditions. World Weather Incorporated says satellite imagery suggests the overall health of the crop is noticeably better than last year. World Weather says timely rains will be needed later this month to aid late planted crop development as Brazil transitions into its dry season.
USDA has created 12 new regional food business centers that will provide technical and financial assistance to strengthen the local and regional food systems. The Region 5 Development Commission is partnering with the Farmers Union in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota to develop the local food processing. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has announced $420 million for the Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Program.
This is designed to provide resources to expand capacity in processing, collection, manufacturing, storing, transporting, wholesaling, and distributing specialty crops, dairy, grains for human consumption, aquaculture, and non-meat and poultry.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Summit Carbon Solutions is attempting to build a CO2 pipeline across the upper Midwest. The company is now suing more than 80 South Dakota farmers who are disputing the pipeline route across private farmland. Leola, South Dakota farmer Mark Labke is a fifth-generation farmer rancher that has some concerns about Summit's claim of eminent domain.
Well, we find ourselves in a very precarious situation right now. We have done extensive efforts throughout our state legislature to try to get some relief in light of the eminent domain that could be happening. And those efforts were unsuccessful. And what we're currently going through is invasive surveying that is going on. Our efforts in the court thus far have been unsuccessful to stall that off. What we have happening right now is as long as a company has an active application with our PUC, they are able to survey private property, farmer's land, without permission.
South Dakota Farmers Union is also backing landowners, citing Summit's surveying process as a violation of landowners' rights.
They're coming in, and it's not just a simple visual inspection and a survey that you would think would be quite common. They are coming in with, you know, big drilling machines, excavators, boring machines. They're drilling holes up to 100 to 200 foot deep. Nobody seems to know why. And so, you know, people are really disheartened and feel very betrayed that this can be allowed on their property and there's nothing that they can do about it. And in the last couple weeks, the eminent domain lawsuits have dropped. Currently in McPherson County, there's about 31 active lawsuits. There's about 60 miles of proposed pipeline, and right now approximately 45 of those miles are looking at being condemned.
The American Feed Industry Association is getting more involved in the 2023 Farm Bill discussion than previous farm bills. CEO Constance Cullman says their aim is to secure funding for programs within the Foreign Agricultural Service.
It's not a bill that we have been heavily engaged in the past, but we have some very high-profile concerns. One of the very first ones are support for market access programming and export assistance programming for USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. With the decline in attention that this administration is paying to a free trade agreements and getting us market access, we really can't be operating at a 1970 level with those kinds of program assistance dollars for export. So we're very supportive of finally taking an opportunity to increase funding for those organizations that are out there promoting U.S. products overseas.
Coleman says the program has shown success in recent years and hopes to continue that pattern.
It is valuable dollars. We've been able to gain more access into Vietnam and even into Brazil. And, of course, it was a huge success for us with China, where we were finally able, after 10 years, to get some of our facilities and feed ingredient products registered to export to China. We would not have been able to do that without those trade promotion dollars through USDA. And so at a time where we're not finding other ways to get into markets, let's adequately fund that particular piece.
The North Dakota Beef Commission is celebrating May as Beef Month in North Dakota to recognize the beef industry and its producers. North Dakota produces more than 915 million pounds of beef annually and is a major beef producing state with nearly 1.9 million head of cattle.
The weekly USDA grain transportation report says U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 22,000 grain carloads during the week ending April 22nd. That is 1% more than the previous week, but 4% fewer than this week last year. The average May shuttle secondary rail car bids and offers were $304 below tariff. It's $98 less than the previous week and $1,829 less than last year.
The weekly USDA grain transportation report says barge grain movement during the week ending April 29th totaled 595,000 tons, 9% less than the previous week and 25% less than the same week last year. The shipping rate to ship a metric ton of grain to Japan is unchanged from last week, $54.75 out of the Gulf and $30 out of the Pacific Northwest. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Farm Bureau Foundation is focusing on Mental Health Awareness Month throughout the month of May. The foundation director, Ruth Merrick, says now is an important time to reach out to others.
You know, it seems like every month has a focus, but there's no greater focus than the mental health and the health and wellness of our farm families across Minnesota. Minnesota Farm Bureau has done numerous activities and events. We work closely with the Minnesota Department of Ag and the University of Minnesota and others on mental health. But as you go through the month of May, I would encourage people to do whatever they can just to make a connection or to do some outreach with your friends, mostly.
Merrick says MFBF makes an effort to share resources with farm families across the state.
We talk so often about mental health, but reaching out, but two things that we really need to, that we really focus on within Farm Bureau is reducing the stigma associated with mental health and also providing resources. Where can people go? So whether it be providing websites, even passing out my own phone number to individuals, give out resources at every opportunity we can. We drop them in swag bags at events. We keep them on tables. We're always talking about it. We're putting into PowerPoint programs, and oftentimes they want to go to that resource in the privacy of their own homes. So whenever we can give that information to them that they can maybe look it up on their home computer or on their cell phone or whatever, we're going to do it.
Checking markets before we leave you here. Minneapolis, July wheat up 6.25 at 8.09¾. Chicago wheat 4¾ higher at 6.44½. Kansas City wheat 11¾ higher at 7.96¾. July corn up a quarter of a penny at 5.88¾. July soybeans 1¼ higher at 14.18¾. Live cattle 17 cents higher at 161.82. 10 cents higher for August live cattle at 159.65. Feeder cattle May contracts 30 cents higher at 203.72. June lean hogs down 67 cents. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.